Denise, Kevin, thanks for joining us today. We are here to talk about this show. We're surrounded by some beautiful scenery here. Could you introduce the show and tell us about what we are seeing around us?
The inspiration for the scenic painting was actually the police drawing of the incident. So this photo was seen in all of the papers and used at the trial. And we felt that it was a great way to ground the show in this incident. We have a photo of the riots from 69, and we also have a photo of children at play, which was really important for us as we wanted our audience to walk into the space and be reminded that she was a child, they are children. And there's this beautiful line in the play that David Rice, later known as Mondo, says that just wanna dance, just wanna live. So having the children doing Ring Around the Rosie, kind of living and playing, just felt right to be in the space.
Could you tell us about your experience working with The Blues of Knowing Why? And what is The Blues of Knowing Why? And what is the story? What is the incident?
Mm-hmm. When we are looking toward doing our Playfest, which is our evening festival of theater that we do for the city, and for this coming year, and I just thought, this story is so vital for our city and for North Omaha, and falls in line with work that Denise and I and the union have been doing for about 6 years now together to tell stories that are community centric and come out of the community. So that was my first experience with it.
It's been really neat because I've been around the show for about 7-8 years through several different parts of development. And when it landed at Great Plains and this opportunity came up to direct it at Playfest, I was all on board.
And this year, 2019, marks the 50th anniversary of the death of Vivian Strong, which was just this last June, as well as the 100-year anniversary of the lynching of Will Brown from the Douglas County Courthouse. So, I mean, the timing of this production and it seems to be coming in this cycle that we're seeing these very cataclysmic things taking place, which leads us to think, okay, we're 50 years, 100 years away, but so much of this is still present. I think the word of the year has been reconciliation, the formation of the Omaha Community Council for Racial Justice and Reconciliation, specifically with the lynching of Will Brown, as well, and with people talking about Vivian. How do you see this play and theater in general, the art of it, working through that reconciliation, at least, or helping to initiate that?
I would say as storytellers within theater practitioners, what we are able to do is to give voice to the story that isn't told. We have gotten to a point where we're mostly comfortable enough to talk about the Will Brown story because we feel like that 100 years is enough space. Where that 50-year point, like, there are still folks walking around. So it's this thing about time and distancing, right? So 100 years can feel like 2 or 3, and there's enough space for us to imagine that no one that we know or love would be connected to something like that. And I think what the theater does is it takes these moments, whether they be 100 years or 50 years or 20 years or 20 minutes, and creates a space where we aren't allowed to distance ourselves from it in that way. This theater space is very intimate. There's nowhere to hide, we say, whether you're on stage or watching the show. And so what happens is we are forced to have this human experience. And within that human experience, we can see parts of our own life, we can see our own family members, we can see our daughters and our sons and our mothers, and we start to question, right? And hopefully start to challenge thoughts and ideas that we hold as individuals that keep systemic racism at play.
I can speak to kind of the conditions of things today. You know, when working in the community and I cycle through on 24th Street frequently, you see there's a lot of life. There's vitality everywhere. There's the desire to, there's this desire to grow, and there's families and everyone work. I mean, it's just like any other neighborhood. But what you notice is that there's people still affected by something, that there's this phantom hand that seems to have a grasp on that vitality really thriving in its place. And but what's been really inspiring is seeing this desire and recognition of the potential and the vitality and all those things to do something with it, and find allies to put resources and help us build those resources behind it. I think there's incredible talent, there's amazing history, there's the energy to do amazing things. What is inspiring today is seeing people encouraged to move beyond those limitations, to move beyond those statutes of oppression. And I'd love to turn to Kevin and talk about the Great Plains Theater Conference.
Well, so like for this show and one of the original previews that we did, a number of elders from the North Omaha community stood up, and people who were friends with Vivian when they were children too. And I think at least one person that the evening I was here actually had witnessed the incident, the killing, and but spoke about how affecting it was to finally be having this story told, and how long it's been to wait for the story to be told, and how right it felt to have it be told in this way. So that, in essence, is the ideal of what Great Plains would shoot for with what we call our neighborhood tapestries, just pulling these local stories up and helping facilitate our local artists and community members to share them with each other and with the rest of the city.
Mm-hmm. So we create less distance in theater. And I think that is the beautiful thing around this production, is there is this moment at the end where people just share their story. And it's amazing how long people have been waiting for that opportunity.
So I'm going to recount this story of Vivian Strong. Vivian Strong was a 14-year-old girl who attended Tech High School, and her friends and her lived in the Logan Fontenelle projects and around the neighborhood. And there was a vacant apartment that the young people were playing music and dancing in, when someone had called 911 and reported a break-in at this vacant location. Police responded to the call, and Vivian's sister went to let them know that the police were coming. And Officer James Loader drew his gun and shot Vivian Strong in the back of her head as they were fleeing the space. And that night, once the news broke, there was a visceral response from the community, because this type of police brutality was not new. Mm-mm. I mean, this is 69, mm-hmm. So this is following the civil rights movement and many civil unrest, much of the civil unrest had taken place up till then, and tensions between the African-American community and the predominantly white community of Omaha was always tenuous at that point. And in response, there were riots for 3 days?
3 days.
3 days.
Yeah. Then also, Vivian was the fourth young person to be killed by an Omaha police officer in 3 years. And part of Loader's defense was, I thought she was a boy. If I knew she was a girl, I wouldn't have shot.
And Officer Loader was acquitted, no?
Correct.
Yes, so
he was charged with manslaughter.
He was charged with manslaughter.
But yes, he was acquitted.
And then was acquitted of his charges, and
he was reinstated into his position. And I think it might have been a year later, if I remember right, according to the research and within the play, he was fired for the misuse of a radio. So it was
so not the murder of a child, but fired for the misuse of a radio. Just to imagine that time where, you know, you have multiple murders of young people in the community by officers, white officers, and there seems to be no justice, that they don't lose their jobs because of of that use of force. And people who were friends, family, relatives, you know, community members that remember Vivian, to never see that come to fruition, you know, is this play in some ways a form of justice?
You know, I don't know that there is justice in a situation like this. I think there is maybe healing, maybe a figuring out of how do we accept this reality and move forward and create a space that's better. But I don't think justice is the word. And, you know, to parallel this event with any of the police shootings that we've seen in the last 5 to 7 years, justice is not the word that we see. And I think that's the challenge of it, is because this narrative has existed for years and decades. It's not a new story. And it's just sad. It's just sad. But what I think the play does allow for is a place for these events to be acknowledged. It's a way to acknowledge Vivian's very short life. It is a way to acknowledge all the events surrounding our community that put us in a place where a 14-year-old child could get shot and killed by a police officer. It is a way for folks to see a story that they are familiar with, be honored and shared, and hopefully allow them to find some peace and to find some healing. But I don't know that justice lives in any of those stories.
You're shaking your head, Kevin, as well.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you could, people could feel like that the story had disappeared, that there could be nothing worse than that, I think. And so too, and the great thing with the theater is that it's, we're communally acknowledging the story, which is very different than doing it individually. To come together as a community to make these acknowledgments is, it's that much more powerful. Over the years now that we've been developing these stories, there's a living history of North Omaha being built up. So I think that's incredibly valuable. At some point here, we'll do a festival of all of all the years at the same time, so you could come over multiple days and see this living history fell swoop, which would, I think, be immensely powerful.
Yeah.
But we are constructing this living history with these plays, so.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for your time, and we look forward to see the impact that a show like this carries throughout Omaha.
Thank you.
Thank you.